occurs only in the Hebrew and no other ancient Semitic language. So, we're not going to go to a lot of scripture today, only really basically one, because everything that I study, and I know
what you all bring out, often takes us right back to Genesis in the beginning. I don't know why it is, but somehow we end up back there in the beginning. We have to get that understanding. And I think the chapter one is ripe, ripe for us to understand. Each single verse within it is so rich. So I would just like to read the first day, how we entered into the first day. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. And this is actually heavens and the earth. Okay. Now, when you're reading this, if it is at all possible, try to get your mind out of the material matter out there, the universe, and get it into this universe, this earth, this matter here. Because that's really what he's talking about, the writer of this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, Elohim, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So in these verses, we see God as creator in the first day. I'm not going to go into any of the other days. This is so rich here, this first day, that really takes us to all the other days. If you can grasp the concept of the first day, you can grasp them all, really. So, when an artist begins his work, what does he do? He first has an image in his mind before he puts it on paper or in sculpture or wherever, whatever medium he chooses to use. He has an image in his mind. He may even prepare a blueprint, like some of you guys might decide first to prepare a blueprint. And I think that chapter one, the whole chapter really, is a blueprint for God's creation. I think that's all it really was, just a blueprint. Because we don't get into, even though he says there was no form, he begins with the idea of form. Yes. What can I do with form? You know, there are scientists who say that if you have disorder, it tends to go into more disorder. Everything just tends to fall apart once you get into disorder. And the only thing that takes you out of disorder is form, putting form within that. The energy of some sort has to go into that and create some form. And out of that form, then you have order appears.
Praise God for it. I love it.
So we just really do have to stir our minds beyond just the concept of matter, because he was also speaking about the inner works of creation, the wheel within the wheel, so to speak. Scripture tells us, he said, "Let us make man in our," circle that, "our own image. In the image of God created he them." So he allowed, in this, he allowed for his own deep essence to be impregnated within mankind. And so how did he do that? It tells us here how he started off. He began to move. This is the first time that we see some action. He began to move. He began to stir upon the face of our earth that was without form, and darkness so deep that it could not even express itself. He was looking for an expression of himself, so he began moving just like a fire with energy building up, as a fire does, energy built up. So in this movement, we see God stirring himself to produce creation. He wanted children after his own kind. And so he began building his house. Wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. So pillars offer support to a superstructure. So can we liken that maybe to the 7 days of creation? These seven pillars? Seven is a number of perfection. And God manifests himself as a pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. We sing that song. So I see these 7 days of creation as a sevenfold expression of the life of God in all of its fullness. So if we could spend forever, the rest of our life, just studying Genesis chapter 1, we really could. Because that tells us what it is he wanted from his creation. What was he looking for in you and me? So in the deep pervading darkness of there was no material matter except the water. Water covering over everything, hiding everything. God's first action is to travail in the pangs of a new birth that will bring form and order to the chaotic forces of darkness and water. So he spoke. He spoke first light into being. And light has order and light has form. It is not chaotic. And I am not talking about the natural light of the sun, because that did not come along until the fourth day. The sun, moon, and stars weren't created until the fourth day. So what is this light? We need to know about this light. So in this deep birthing, and that movement really is a brooding, he called onto his deep, and out of his deep we began to see the form of the beginning of the expression of himself. So God is light, so therefore he had to express himself as light. Woman, behold the sun. It's his first act of wisdom. Wisdom, Sophia, is a feminine gender. It's the feminine aspect of his creative ability. And it is the soul or womb by which the creative power of the Spirit is expressed of our Father. As light, Christ said, I am. I am the light. I am the way. And as a parallel, we see the birth of the firstborn son of Jacob and Leah, Reuben. His name means, behold a son. Reuben was born in Aquarius. And Christ's return, as we're talking on that sine wave, begins in Aquarius. So, but this word, moving, look at it again, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It has a sense of brooding, and I thought, always, up to a few days ago, I always thought, oh, he brooded. You know, was brought up, that means brooding. He brooded. He was seriously considering, thinking deeply. No, actually, the first meaning of that word brooding is hatching.
Yes.
It has hatching for its base, and a brood is the offspring or the family of offspring hatched all at one time and cared for together.
Amen.
So, can you see this picture of him like a hen on its nest? Feminine hen on its nest. Planning on hatching all of his creation, this blueprint of the idea of many after his own image, many just like him, bringing forth that which he is, which he can do no other. He cannot bring out that which he is not. We do that very effectively, but he can't do it. So the names of God are like the energy centers of the chakras. And each chakra reveals various stages and experiences with God. And actually the word chakra comes from the Sanskrit, which means wheel. And when you look at the pictures, which Francis passed out, you see wheels and you see hubs within each wheel. Each wheel has a hub. So it's a wheel of energy continually revolving. So the seven chakras, there's seven, they spin clockwise in us, each rotating and vibrating at different speeds. The first chakra is located at the base of our spine, and it spins the slowest. It's the root or foundational chakra, and it affirms the I am. Remember, Jesus told the Jews, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." The first chakra affirms also, "I do," which is the beginning of an action. So we see in this creation, the first day, him affirming the I am and the I do. The work begins. I will. I do. And is also the color of red, of sacrifice, which Christ was, the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So we see Christ in every word here. We see Christ. We see God bringing forth his Son.
Yes.
And this chakra actually relates to our sense of belonging, such as to a family or group. And it connects us to the earth. So there has to be first a connection, a knowing that we are connected to the earth at the beginning. And that's what this is, this first few verses of Genesis 1. So this is the creative energy of Elohim God, the wisdom of God, along with God the Son, the living Word, with creature form to create, and later with human form to redeem. And he was begotten of his Father before all worlds, light of light. And we also are creators with him if we believe that we were with them before the foundation of the world. You know, in the book of Job it says, "When the foundations were fastened and the cornerstone was laid," who was the cornerstone? Christ. "The morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy." So we were there with him. You can either believe that or not. Our spirit there that desired that began a desire in us to be all that we could be on this earth, to know who we were. So Elohim God has called upon us to carry out the work of creation. And he said unto the male and female that he created, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." To replenish is to make full or complete again, as by furnishing a new supply. So somewhere we have the sense that disorder came in, was there at the beginning. How did he get there? Maybe it was always there, or maybe there was order at one time. But somehow there was disorder and formlessness. And he had to change that. He had to bring in the form to bring order into that cosmos that had no order and no form.
Into being incarnation.
So the age of Aquarius takes us from the earthly Bethlehem to New Jerusalem and to the risen Christ. We are the expression of the rising of the light, first revolving energies at our earliest beginnings, then gathering speed as our light and understanding ascends from that which connects us to the earth at our root, ascending ever upward to our crown, connecting us to the heavenlies. So each chakra is important in that there has to be a beginning somewhere. It has to begin down here earthly in this lower vibration, and as it begins to understand and identify with that, it then begins to connect wheel with wheel as it connects with the chakras and moves ever upward within us, taking on those attributions and expressions of each chakra until it goes to our crown and we connect earth and heaven this way. Okay, because once it reaches our crown, it has nowhere to go but up and outward into all men. So, I mean, that is, it is just imparts. When, I mean, we become at one with Him, we become as risen ones with Him, and we impart life to others as He did. So the Son becomes, in this, with this procreation, the Son becomes a Father. The Son is no longer a Son. The Son becomes a Father because He can procreate now. This is our creative energies and expressions at work. And so as in Elohim, in His expression of who He was, we behold the Son. And He's the first of the first fruits. And we need to see ourselves in the Son, S-O-N, not S-U-N. We need to see ourselves in the Son, the light that He was, the light that we are, because He made that which was invisible visible. Yes. If it's dark, nothing is visible. You can't see it. You can't see what's there. So He made that which was invisible visible. His image already existed as an idea within Elohim. Not, but more than an idea, an expression was everything that He was. And out of that expression, out of that image, He created. You can do nothing else. If that's who you are, you create that which you are. The eternal God created all things by and through the eternal Word. Hebrews 1 says that God hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds. So the Word is the spirit of the power, and the Spirit gives form to that which is outspoken, so that it appears as spirit. Amen. This is the way the visible glory of God, the light of Elohim, will be seen in the people. This is creation creating. You are the light of the world. You are the city set on a hill which cannot be hid. You are the city which you are, a city which bears His name, His nature, out from under the cover of darkness and formlessness. He is the bearer of the light. He is the standard held high up for us. And we were prepared with Him from the foundation of this world. And He will manifest. He will express. And He is expressing. And He is appearing in every son. So that's Elohim. That's what I got out of Elohim.